434-1790, 266-IVOB, brass tacks at starcomnetwork.net. That's how you reach us. And we chat. Good afternoon. Okay, I know it's been a bit of a break, so I know you may have taken a chance to go and get a sandwich and a beverage. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I did made a call to natural gas, and they are aware of the problem.
Yeah, they called. Thank you very much. They called and said they were sending someone.
I was holding on to get you to let you know that I did that. So.
They've sent it. Thank you very much indeed, sir. And I thank them as well for their prompt response. I know they're usually very concerned about gas leaks. Yeah, they can be dangerous. Thank you very, very much indeed, sir. And thanks to the folks at the MPC. And I hope the problem is rectified to the satisfaction of all concerned. Radio works. Brass tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson. You caught me up with that.
Radio works, sir. That's why you're on it.
Yeah, yes,
if exactly. It didn't, you'd be on your cell phone with somebody
else. How are you doing, sir?
I'm all right.
Right. There's a lot of activity going on. But I just want to touch on two things today. Look, for some time now, we had this problem. And I'm asking calling for the solution to be brought about or whatever. Look, we had Mr. Collins from Ombudsman, the beach. We had the Jack situation. We had the John Moore situation. We had the Mullins that you spoke about. You had Penn's Base, Keith's Bay, you name it. And over a period, we've had all of these things emanating and raising their head, et cetera. I'm asking simply, what is the law, how it can be brought to a clear understanding that all of this, every minute raising its ugly head, will be halted? What it is to do? Get a clear definitive put there.
That says
that
what?
All and sundry, property owners, residents, everybody will understand clearly and definitively this is what it is. Need to be halted, man. I mean, violated over time.
Your party can't do it?
Huh?
Your party can't do it?
I don't matter who does it.
No, by asking they can't do it.
It needs to be done.
By whom? I can't do it? I'm an ordinary citizen.
I know that.
With a mouth.
It has happened over, I would say, different governments in office.
So but, what does that tell you?
We can't be knocking our head.
What does that tell you, sir?
Like this. Knocking our head like that.
What does that tell you, sir? Do you want to tell me what it tells you? I don't tell you anything.
It tells me that somebody probably isn't applying what they should apply.
Why you think they're not doing that, sir?
Huh?
Why you think they're not doing that?
Well, I can't go put my finger
man,
on
it. Put your finger on it, man. Listen, sir, you said to me once on this program that you're an electrician, right?
Yeah.
Good. If I call you to my house and tell you that wire across there is shocking me every time I touch it and it's sparking on Wednesdays, you don't tell me you can't put your finger on it. You don't tell me don't put my finger on it, but you don't tell me what's wrong with it. So let me put it to you, right?
Yeah.
And then you could decide whether to accept it or not. As long as we are in a situation where the people refer to as the foreign investor can call the shots, and those who are responsible for making the foreign investor feel happy figure that it is in their best interest to make the foreign investor feel happy because he could remove his foreign investment and we'd be in duck's guts. But that Dennis Johnson and the fella that's talking to me right now and Graham
Roll,
across
man.
There.
Roll.
All right, Roll. I ain't gonna call your name by Roll.
No way, man.
That we could bramble them, we could buy them a beer. And we could tell them, man, you support my party, my authority, and you get a little piece of electrical work when they're setting up the big hotel down there. They could fix you up quietly, but they can't fix up the investor. Sir, as long as we have this first and second class citizen, as long as we have us and them, as long as we have this is mine and that is yours, and this is where the line is, we can have that problem. And as I said before, when Mother Nature or Father Nature or whoever we call ready to move the line, all of us can be at sea. And if you don't know how to swim, and I know how to swim, you're going to have to ask me to hold you, please, on my shoulder, or the shark going to eat two of us. Sir, here is the problem. The law is drafted by people whose expertise is drafting laws. It is crafted in such a way that it is left to those who are supposed to interpret the law and apply it would do so in a fair and unbalanced manner. That is why the lady we call what? Madam Justice, with the scales in her hand, is supposed to be blindfolded so she can't see to whom she is dispensing justice. Mm-hmm. We have reached the stage, however, where we are behind the eight ball and we begging and scrambling. So that the man with the checkbook and the pen poised over it says, "I want." And we say, "Yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir." When the invaders came in 1492, my ancestors went down to the beach with beads and trinkets and thought they were visitors. Right? They poisoned us, shot us, and thief their land. Exactly. And then kick us out and we had to walk over the cliff and dead. And all these years later, we ain't figured it out yet. So we keep running down to the beach with beads and trinkets and chains in our nose and ears saying, "Come, come, it's all right, you know, come, come, because we need your help." We have got to determine. So there are islands in the Caribbean, right?
Yeah.
Where you can't own land. You have to lease it. The land is only sold to the people who live there. So in order to get around that, what have we done? We've decided to have citizenship by investment. So that the man who comes to invest, we say, "Oh, yeah, we can make you a citizen so we can buy the land." We twist the law. It's not that the law is not there. It is those that are interpreting it are doing it for their benefit.
That is unfortunate.
And therefore, it is unfortunate, sir. Because you see, but hold on, don't move. I want you to listen to this part because this is the crucial part. And I wish all those brain lawyers would understand this part. If I build my house at number 178 Cane Garden Park in St. Thomas, there are landmarks put down in X and X and X and X and said, "That is your land."
Right.
There's a mark that says, "This is the verge. You can't build this close to the verge because if the government wants to put a pavement, widen the road, or instill whatever it is, they're going to come back to this point," right?
Right.
It tells me I cannot build my guard wall higher than so and so and so and so, and all this is included. So if you have a high water mark, why is it not predetermined so that when the land shift, the water shift, or you extend the beach, your high water mark is where it was when you originally built your property? So you cannot come tomorrow and tell me, "Oh, the beach is now 3 miles wide, and the high water mark is now there, so all this is mine." You cannot have one set of rules for one set of people and another set of rules for another. You cannot have one set of rules that says, "I can't build my wall higher than X." And I drive along Highway 1 and I see a man with not only a wall, but a tree 25 feet tall on the road. And I can't raise my wall. My wall has to be 3 feet, but a man could build a 3-foot wall and have a 20-foot tree behind the wall that blocking the whole road and hanging over the road? And he allowed to do it?
Mr. Johnson Allen.
So, and then you're telling me about, you know, definitive? I just defined it for you.
But you can't fault me.
I'm faulting you?
I want it sorted. It does not. Look, this hasn't going to go on for eons, forever. It can be solved. That's all I'm arguing and contending. It can be straightened out that we won't have this again for good. Wait, can't worry about a serious definitive that was there. Look, this is it. Are we going by this?
I just tell you why. Because the man with the checkbook who says he's an investor says, "Unless I get this, you ain't getting this, you ain't getting this $20 million investment." And right now, we want it.
Well, you're spending top of mud all the time. So let's
well,
go on
okay,
thing
right. So we can do it. Yeah.
Vote buying. Now, this is not for you, but I'll just highlight it. You know, I talked about the vote buying too, but this word I'm going to use is not for you. I learned this word from Mr. Ellis. Thanks to him, one gobbledygook. He told me he was talking gobbledygook. He said there's a lot of gobbledygook, and he was talking about when he initiated this thing about the vote buying, you had a tinge of it too. Look. This vote buying is still an issue, you know. All this gobbledygook talk, it is still an issue, and it's going to be an issue up to the election day. And I need
That's the Trump card that you're holding?
No, not that. The Trump card I'm holding, you didn't hear it? Trump card I'm holding is that there are two camps over here. One camp is saying go to the IMF, and the other camp has that reservation about going to the IMF. And I'm satisfied with going with the two camps. And however the vote comes out, I'm satisfied. So my Trump card is that I I'm saying categorically that, in my estimation, there are more persons who will say, don't go to the AMF as compared to who will say, go. And that is my trump card. Eh?
Okay.
You still there?
So let me say this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Barbados is mm-hmm. going to go to an institution, international mm-hmm. institution,
mm-hmm.
for financial support to get the economy back on track. You could write that down on whatever you care to write it down. You could carve it on two tablets of stone, and you could keep it at the back of your home. There is a cry for foreign investment. You cannot have your cake and eat it too. Actually, sir, it's the other way around, or madam. So you cannot eat your cake and have it. Because if you eat it, you don't have it. To eat it, you have to have it. So it's not have your cake and eat it. It's eat your cake and have it. But anyhow, the problem is you can have foreign investment, but you have to have rules and regulations by which your foreign investment is caught, is handled. Because with the world being what it is, you could set up a large whatever, and then the international money lenders and the people who said, say, that was built with foreign funds, and shut it down. There's a hotel in St. James called The Great Escape that's still shut. Find out why. That was foreign investment. That's the mood I'm in this Monday, Thursday. This is Dr. Brastak. Here's an important notice from the Welfare Department. Welfare checks for the period dated 2018-03-30 and 2018-04-13 will be delayed. These checks will be available during the week of Tuesday, April 3rd. The Welfare Department sincerely regrets any inconvenience. That's welfare checks for the period dated 2018-03-30, that's the 30th of March, and 2018-04-13, that's the 13th of April, will be delayed. These checks will be available during the week of Tuesday, April 3rd. 4341790, brastax@starcomnetwork.net, or 266-IVOB. The ways you can reach us on this, the Thursday edition of Dr. Brastax, we go until 2 o'clock. If you're just joining us, Graham Vaughan is the technical operator producer and assisted, I think, somewhere. I see behind my back Mr. Ian Gill, and I'm Dennis Johnson. That's your team, and we go until 2. Good afternoon. Hello. Good afternoon. Okay, it's always a while for you to get back to the phone after the news break. I think most people put their phones on pause or put it down to go and have, as I said, a beverage. Let's try that again. Brastax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I would like to make a few points, and you can stop me at any time to make a comment.
No problem, sir.
The first is, I wonder why it is when elections are near, the DLP likes to hark back to what they have done since 1961. They are only to be judged on the last 10 years they've been in office and what they have or have not done, such as not importing a single bus or garbage truck. There are a lot of buses at Weymouth Park, Dr. Gray's. Now, if they need parts, why can't they import parts for them?
So I think it is because the parties, both of them, but perhaps the DLP more so than the BLP, realize that the majority of people who are moved to vote at election time with some sense of tradition are people who are over the age of 45. People under the age of 45 tend to sway with the times. And people under the age of 25 only know the current crop of politicians. So it is either you remind the older folk who continue to support you why they should support you and hope that they would sway some of the younger people too. The question of the importation of buses and parts. It is unfortunate. I made the comment earlier about investors and I got pulled up a little bit for it, but I'll come back to that in a minute. It is unfortunate that sometimes when we buy buses, we can't stock parts
for them, yeah.
And we can't set up a deal where when a unit becomes obsolete, that we have, the same way people buy back cars and recondition them, that we have some kind of system that says, even if you take back the old shells or the old buses at a knockdown price of, let's say, $5,000 a unit as opposed to the $245,000 we paid for it, there are people who can recondition buses, you know. I would not put it beyond some of the mechanics and bodywork men we have in Barbados to take the old shells and the old buses and have them back on the road painted pretty as coaches and operating, I don't know, maybe for another 5-10 years before they dump them.
Because I think we need
talented people about here.
I think we need at least another 15 buses in operation and 5 garbage trucks. Now, government says they have no money, yet they say they're planning to repair roads if re-elected. That is just an election ploy, and they're stupid if they think we are going to fall for it. Maybe they'll use the money from that horrible NSRL. This government can't give workers a wage increase, yet they've taken back their 10% wage cut. What a selfish, greedy, uncaring government. They haven't paid the cane farmers the full amount they're owed, and this is why the sugar crop is so late in starting. And the CBC has had to stop broadcasting certain channels because they can't pay for them. The reason this country is in the position it is in is because of massive corruption. How else can one explain how well our tourist industry has been doing? And a certain big up is living there. Yeah, right. Now, before I make my next point, there's something I nearly forgot. Mm-hmm. I suspect the reason that the elections are being put back is because next month in England, there is to be a meeting of heads of Commonwealth countries
yeah.
Mm-hmm. On which the Queen is going to be present. And of course, our Prime Minister has to attend that. Going for slas as usual. It's too great to go economy.
Well, I'm told that the reason why, I don't know how he's traveling, but what I'm told is that on long distance journeys, it's usually the challenges associated with being in economy for people of a certain age, the reason why people travel in a different class. But I have no idea which class he's traveling. I know there are a couple of things that, a couple things that he wants to attend, and that's one of them. Two things, though. Someone says to me that the Crane's position is the NCC, whether the NCC has the rights to give licenses to people to carry on commerce on an area for which it pays taxes, and they've drawn the analysis of someone setting up a mobile canteen on my front lawn. I know what the analysis is, and I know what the challenges are. Don't change what I said earlier. Person who asked me about foreign investment, the other investment I was trying to recall as we went to the newscast was Harlequin. Harlequin came to Barbados to set up all sorts of things, and Harlequin is stuck because the international lending agencies are after the people who were behind the Harlequin project. The same thing, incidentally, happened with the original people who were at that place known as Paradise Beach Hotel, after it went from Mr. Stewart to wherever it was supposed to be after that. You see, once upon a time, foreign investors came in and nobody questioned where their funds came from. Then came the international laws with banking and money laundering, and that's why all these questions being raised about foreign offshore banking, all that. Grenada had problems with some Russian investor and leases for oil. Trinidad had their set with some other foreign investors, and we had Harlequin. See, so when people talk about doing due diligence and sending this person off and signing MOU, the international communities and the police Interpol and these fellows are looking very closely on people who travel all about the place, signing checks and calling themselves investors. And I'm trying to remember whether it was Antigua or whether it was Dominica that had some scandal as well with someone who had citizenship by investment and foreign agencies were after them. You see, when in need, you are vulnerable. And for those who have never been in need, you may not understand what vulnerability is. Okay? Good. I know my line kind of tight, right? Because you can't figure out which side I'm coming down on. So I know it kind of tight, but I'm batting a tight line. And I ain't going to be like the Australians and have people tampering with balls and sledging and saying, oh dear, poor me, it's only two of us. The whole side should have gone home. If it was the West Indies, they would have fired everybody. Brass tacks, good afternoon. And there would have some girls who say they interfere with them after hours too. But, you know, as I said, when you're in need and you're down the totem pole, they'll stand the next one on top, stamp on your back. Hello? Someone says, I don't mind the Prime Minister traveling first class, he should call the election. 4341-790. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
I got cut off just now. It wasn't my fault.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Tell me.
I want to make another point concerning Muslims, right? They want to infiltrate every country in the world and bring their own customs and laws. Have you heard that when in Rome, those the Romans do? There was an article in the Thursday, 22nd of March, Daily Nation newspaper on page 3, in which it said that Muslims want an area at the airport for praying. What next? How about areas for all other religions as well? And they want Muslim women to be able to wear the hijab when their photographs are taken for ID cards and passports. That should not be allowed. Photos should be full face with full head showing. I would like to relate an incident at my bank. A Muslim woman came in right behind me, dressed in full garb, with only her eyes with glasses and shoes on her feet showing. I asked the bank guard if she would let her in, and she said yes. What a double standard. You can't wear sunglasses or a helmet in a bank. I'm sorry I didn't tell her, you can't come in this bank dressed like that. But that would probably have caused a furor in the bank.
I'm sure it would, sir. I've worked in Trinidad and Tobago where we were told that the Muslim ladies could only reveal themselves to their husbands. So if you wanted to find out the identity of the person, a female would have to go into the vault area with them and find out who they are. On the question of, there are airports in the world that have prayer areas set aside, well, areas of meditation, areas where people can go and pray and meditate, whichever religion they belong to, prior to traveling. The problem, I think, becomes a little bit of a challenge because of international concerns about concealing things and how you go about. That's how it goes. Someone says, as a jeweler, anytime I sell an item over $10,000 in Canada, I get a call from FinTrack asking me all kinds of questions. Yes, sir. And if you walk into a bank to deposit $10,000, they'll ask you all kinds of questions too, especially if it's in cash and small denominations. And if you deposit $5,000 today and $5,000 this afternoon and $5,000 tomorrow, you'll get a call asking about it too. And don't say your grandmother died and left you you know, some money under the bed and you're bringing it in piece by piece. Because then some fellas can come knocking at your door and tell you that your grandmother owed them. And, you know, they want back the money. Look, it is the way of the world, okay? And somebody reminded me that there was R. Allen Stanford in Antigua who was knighted. Yep, that too, there was indeed. Brass tacks, good afternoon.
Yes. Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there's something that I really trying to get over to the minister sometime, but when he did ask me if I'm a mechanic, when I try to relate certain information about the bus's performance. Now, the buses come down here with six gears, all right? They are computerized. What the individuals at the transport board did, it take off two gears off the bus, have the buses running on four gears. Now, by talking to mechanics, the mechanic even tell me, look, second man, if we have to leave the buses because of faults on the bus for driving, we not one bus will be on the road. Now, don't care how you try to explain to them, once you interfere with a bus engine or any engine at all that have a transmission, automatic transmission, you're going to create a problem. Even on Silent Street Road, the buses need the gears for the hills. Those buses was overheating from the time they was 2 years old because it wasn't getting the efficiency how the bus engine supposed to work. Years ago, they had a Benstick Leyland that had on six gears. Nobody never interfered with six gear. All it takes is for a little understanding which will reduce the repair costs. If you reduce the petrol to save petrol, or because the bus too fast, you're going to increase maintenance costs. Am I right?
So once you tamper with any engine that the manufacturers have set up to be controlled by a computerized system, that they could stay wherever they are and check on it if they have to, you will cause problems. Because, I mean, I know people who have tried to take sensors for out of their wheels because of this and that, and they're told if you do that, you're going to shut down this, and you're going to shut down that, and you're going to shut down the other. Once upon a time, you could lift a car engine and go into it and put it up on a jack. These days, fellas just come, attach a laptop to it, and tell you part number X need to be replaced by X, Y, X, Y, X, Y.
Good.
And that's what you're supposed to do, because that's how they set it up. They ain't want you tampering with it at all.
Sir, when these buses come off a 50-kilometer and approaching a bend, a 90-degree turn, the gears are not hauling back the buses. The buses go into the bend, and they have to use the power from your foot to stop the bus. Don't care how you explain it to them. When I try to explain to the minister, I could tell you, it was 4 o'clock in the evening.
So, but the minister is not a mechanic, so why are you trying to explain it to him?
Listen, all I said to him, so that he can get it right. You can't just come and talk dollars and cents in maintenance when there are other ideas out there to try. Automatic transmission, even if you drive in a car, if you want to get the better performance, even from a car, all you have to do is move from drive to second. If you're going down a hill, new second gear. You're moving off and your vehicle having weight, move to second gear. Because if you move and drive, it's going to move lazy. There are certain things about automatic transmission that you
including must. The fact that if you tamper with them or if you change them the way they are, they will never work the way they're supposed to work because they're tested on long-distance journeys where over a period of time, the gears get to decelerate, accelerate, and work in a certain manner, sir.
Sir, you know how regular in the bus gets.
If you have a bus stop every 100 yards, sir, and you got to stop and start the bus, you're going to only be using two gears more than any other, unless you get a chance to run it for a long period. Like if you're going from Spitestown to the airport with no stops.
Well, listen. This is what you get. You come up, from the time the bus leaves the globe, it's uphill on St. Andrew route until they get to St. John Forest Church. Mm-hmm. Whenever you have the acceleration, you could talk to any of you guys that got the minibuses on St. Andrew route. You come and you hit, before you get to Glebe Polyclinic.
So we should get manuals again then?
That bus be changing and changing and changing and changing and want the acceleration. We can't get it.
So go back to manuals?
When it get to Fortescue, overheating. When it get going up Gunhill, from the time the buses was 2 years, 3 years, peak overheating gauge. When you check, the temperature gauge going up in the air. Only to get on Lebanon Harbor Road, where the air could blow through the engine so that you could stop that annoying noise.
Sir, but the question is, should we go back to manuals then? To manual buses?
Well. You see, if we go back to manual and you interfere with the petrol control, you control by not wanting the buses be too fast or You want to save petrol? You got a problem again.
Okay. So the solution is?
The solution, don't interfere with the petrol flow that is going to push the maintenance cost high. They give me some figures recently, paying $5 million in diesel bill. Well, I prefer to pay $10 million and save $15 million in maintenance, because the maintenance now is where the problem is. So it made an easier calculation. And if you feel that your drivers, train them. Because I know that Williams would never take off the petrol from off of his transporter that pulled around a D9. I don't think that he would do it. And they have automatic garbage trucks that will stop more regular transport board bus. And the fire trucks come automatic. No. So you have, to alleviate stress from a driver, from God, shifting gears, this is all factors that bears in mind when they choose to have automatic transmission.
No, here's my other question to you then, sir. I raised this issue of buses, how we buy buses, and who goes to buy buses way back. And a gentleman who engages me all the time on this program now, a gentleman by the name of Mr. Mohammed Nasser, when I made certain comments about the people who are going to buy buses, he said to me that the person who was going to buy the bus was an island scholar, and he was knowledgeable in a lot of things. And the question I asked was this: why don't the people who go to buy the buses ask all these questions? Tell them about the topography of Barbados, the fact that we have a bus stop every 100 yards, the temperatures in Barbados, the type of roads we have, and find out if the buses that they buy are compatible. Gentleman said to me here on the WhatsApp, that's a lot of rubbish. Some of the biggest trucks that pull tons and tons of coal, stone, and quarry work, automatic is the way our buses are maintained, nothing to do with transmission. Someone else says, and the person says, if you want a manual bus, it has to be ordered specially. And there are two other people that say what you're saying is absolutely correct. Nothing wrong with the automatic buses. Man don't know nothing about buses and so on. There's somebody who apparently also says, I'm a bus driver of almost 30 years, and everything you're saying is true. So you have those who say that you're right and those who say that you know what you're talking about. But I will say again.
Yeah.
The area that you're traveling and what you're using the bus for, I believe should be made known. Because I know, for example, Brazil have hills. San Francisco have hills. They have electric buses. Some of them go up and down hills. Sometimes there's a lot of other things. That's Mr. Nasser who want me to know too. I'm sure he would, because he remembered that conversation, or he wants to leave his number. Who's the person that wanted to join the caller? Is he still there? Put the person in. Let me hear what they want to say. Yes, sir. Good afternoon. Or madam, because I don't know which it is. Hello?
Yeah.
Second caller. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, tell me. Hello? Okay, apparently the person doesn't know.
This is the first caller.
Yeah, I know that. Apparently the second caller don't want to share with you anymore. Anyhow, so what I'm asking you, I've given you a chance to answer. Should we take somebody who works with either the maintenance section of the transport board, somebody from UCAL, an experienced driver of a few years, to say, look, these are some of the issues we have. These are some of the conditions we have to drive under. Show me the bus. Let me drive the bus. Let me tell you what I've observed. And let me tell you about Barbados, if you can't come here and see, to see if at least we're getting the right type of units. Or is that not practicable?
Well, to me, it's practical. The reason why, you see, when a driver, any experienced driver from the board that have years, even dealing with the Ben Stick Leyland, that has six gears, all right? A driver would know the performance of a engine. You understand? Once he run the gear,
Once he don't mistreat it, yes.
Right, he would know. Look, even when you get in a common car, you know what you expect. You know what you're looking for.
Well, not only that, sir, but I know how the other person drives it, because if, for example, the person is driving with their foot jamming down on the brake every few minutes, the brake is sometimes a little lower than my car, so I know you got different things. So go ahead.
But sir, you know that those people buses, the late cars. Buses, mm-hmm. have what is called a retarded switch. It says some switch that is on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
That even when the moment you take your foot from off
the gas, it starts the brake kicks in.
Engage and the bus will come to a dead stop.
Agreed.
Until it will come to a dead stop.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you're going down a hill,
It would apply. Yeah.
Let your feet touch the accelerator or not, the bus will then stop.
Hmm. Right? So there were buses who came to Barbados that was told that when they came here, not interrupting you, but that you couldn't drive with the door open because it was part of the braking mechanism.
Okay,
yeah.
then. Okay,
mm-hmm.
then.
Mm-hmm.
So you see what computer does?
Yeah, so
when
I know.
You tamper with
well
the engine,
So let's not call it tamper. Let's call it trying to adjust the engine to what you wanted to do.
Good.
Hmm.
All right?
Hmm.
Any company that did that to a bus after it came from the manufacturer.
But I don't know that they did, eh? You're saying that they did.
Any person, let me break it down. Any person, because it's been proven that two gears take off. It used to run on six, they take off two, it running on four gears.
So
any person that did that, you could blame the school children for mashing up buses. Yes,
you could blame them for mashing up inside.
Yeah, you understand my meaning? So the children scroll it and marking at the bus with the marker. And then you have individuals that doing something to the engine and got all them park up in the park up. You think the park up? When the bus get to 40 Q or certain air, overheating. You ask any mechanic, what is the major problem overheating? Look, they had a bus that had to reverse up Hilly Beast Turner Hall and the school children had to give the direction for the thing because it won't go up forward.
So I know that there are at least seven buses that I passed coming from Farley Hill coming from the East Coast after Soccer Royale some years ago that couldn't make the hill because of the various issues. They were all there smelling, burnt out and doing nothing.
Right.
But I asked the minister on one occasion, and I've asked, I think, one of the suppliers of electric vehicles, if we're not looking at electric buses, and I'm told perhaps, that's where we're going. I don't know,
so
sir.
So, did you get electric and then reduce the electrical
sir,
supply?
I don't know. I don't make them decisions. I don't make those decisions, sir.
I don't make them decisions.
I could only tell you what I was told. Look, let me say this to her. It confuses me. The whole process of how we go about acquiring things. If we have an issue with transport board buses, if we have an issue with garbage trucks, if we have an issue with government or parastatal agencies' vehicles that are operated by more than one person for extended periods, should it not say to us that we have a problem with how we maintain and treat these vehicles, and therefore we should, one, acquire them by independent means, in other words, independent valuators who know what we want, who know what to look for, and who can make those decisions as opposed to taking advice from people who like how the bus look or like the color or who make the best presentation. Should we not have people make presentations to these people, have them look at it, test it, see that it meets our requirements, and come up with a maintenance program that they are responsible for as part of the overall buying and maintenance of the product. So let's say we have these buses. We're supposed to have them for at least 10 years. During a two-year period, you will maintain this, you will train my people, you will provide this. And if we have any mechanical, electrical, or issues that are not of our own making, you will repair it as part of us paying $245,000 for it. Does that make sense, or is that stupidness? I just ask it. Because to me, we seem to be having problems in more than one area with these types of things. Just asking. Brass Tacks, the Thursday edition.